You're listening to the Golem Institute podcast series, The Rawi Gems, by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Golem is pleased to announce the Hadith Intensive, an immersive study into the science of Hadith and Sunnah. For more information, visit golem.org/hadith. And Jazakallah khair for listening.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa, khususan ala sayyidi al-rusul wa khatam al-anbiya. وعلى آله الأسقياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد. Alhamdulillah, today in the recitation we recited Surah An-Najm. Surah An-Najm was a surah that was revealed entirely in Makkah Mukarramah. And after it was revealed, this is the very first surah the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited openly in front of the people of Makkah Mukarramah. And this was their first exposure to hearing a surah from beginning till end. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he recited the verses of Surah An-Najm. And in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he first talks about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a blessed person by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even his speech, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, was a form of revelation. And then after that, in the middle part of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions that anyone that you think will intercede on your behalf on the Day of Judgment will not be able to intercede until Allah allows them to intercede on the Day of Judgment. You cannot expect anyone to come and intercede for you unless Allah allows them. Right? Except for the one Allah gives permission to intercede. Then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who do good, they will be rewarded. Those who don't do good, there will be no reward for you. And on that day, you will not carry someone else's burden, and no one else will carry your burden. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the summary of all of this is, وَأَنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَىٰ. That one day, the end of your journey will be in front of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's where your journey will end. That's where now you have to answer to Allah and you're held accountable for everything. Then Allah showers His favors and says, look, I am the one who gave you the ability to smile. I am the one who made you cry. I am the one who gave you life. I am the one who gave you death. I gave you existence. So in these verses that Allah, He takes pride in all of these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Now as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited, and as he recited, finally the verse came for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ وَاعْبُدُوا. That after hearing all of this, right, Allah is the one who gave you everything. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكَ تَتَمَارَى. Which one of the favors of your Lord will you doubt? تَتَمَارَى. Will you continue to doubt? هَذَا نَذِيرٌ مِنَ النُّذْرِ الْأُولَى. What I'm warning you is exactly what the people before me came to warn you as well. أَزِفَةِ الْأَزِفَةِ. That which was going to come, meaning the Day of Judgment, it's as if it's already here. The Day of Judgment sits around the corner. لَيْسَ لَهَا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ كَاشِفَةً. And there is no one in the world that can remove that Day of Judgment from your life. It will come one day. أَفَمِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَعْجَبُونَ. Is all of this, what I'm reading to you in Surah Najm, does it bring amazement to you? وَتَضْحَكُونَ وَلَا تَبْكُونَ. And after hearing all of these verses, you're still laughing? You're not crying it? So because the people of Makkah Mukarramah, when they were hearing this, they started giggling and laughing. Look what kind of revelation this is. So Allah then revealed that ayah direct to them. وَتَضْحَكُونَ وَلَا تَبْكُونَ. After hearing all of this, you still lie and you don't cry it? You're still laughing and you don't cry it? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ وَعْبُدُوا. Do sajda to Allah and worship Him. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this verse, the second to last verse, and it had such a powerful impact on the people of Makkah Mukarramah that everyone that was listening became frightened. And they stopped laughing. They were shocked. Because Allah addressed them directly. وَتَضْحَكُونَ وَلَا تَبْكُونَ. That you're laughing and you're not crying yet after hearing all of this. So they went quiet. And when the Prophet then recited the verse that Allah instructs everyone to do sajda, like we did sajda in our prayer, everyone in Makkah Mukarramah that was there, they all fell into sajda. According to one narration, not only the Muslimin, but also the Mushrikeen. They became so frightened by that verse that they all fell into sajda. According to another narration, not only the Muslimin, Mushrikeen, not only the Insan, but also the Jinnat. Even the jinn fell into sajda when this verse was revealed. According to a third narration, not only the insan and the jinnat, but even the ashjar, even the trees fell into sajda. Such a powerful verse. However, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi narrates a tradition that when everyone was in sajda, there was one man of Makkah Mukarramah. He picked up soil from the ground and he put the soil on his head instead of lowering himself down out of pride. And his name was Umayyah bin Khalaf. And that person, he died outside the folds of Islam. Right? He was a person who used to torture Bilal radiallahu anhu. And his pride was such that he didn't want to bow down when Allah told him to. So that's why he picked it up. And that's what the scholars say, when you're doing sajda, even if a person is mavud, even if a person is excused and they're sitting on their chair, if they need to do sajda, they will lower down as much as they can. They won't pick up something and lift it to their forehead. You guys understand that? Even if you're sitting and praying salah, and you can't do sajda on a solid, on something solid, you won't pick up the book in front of you and lift it, or pick up the bench in front of you and lift it to your forehead. No. You bow down as much as you can. Even if it's 1 inch, that's enough. Or 2 inches, that's enough. But you don't lift anything to your forehead, your forehead goes downwards. And many scholars, they base it off this narration, how this person was doomed because he refused to do sajda in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in one narration, the Sahaba Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says that we prayed salah with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he made sajda. He made sajda in Surah Al-Najm. After recitation, at the end of it, he made sajda. And when he made the sajda, he prolonged the sajda. That was a longer sajda. That's why, for those of you who realize today, in the sajda of Surah Al-Najm today, we stretched it a little bit extra, more than we would the other sujood, to once again follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam of stretching that. Now, I want to discuss the first few verses of Surah Al-Najm today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "One najmi idha hawa." Najm is a star. Idha hawa, ay idha ghaba. And Allah takes an oath by the star when it disappears. When does a star usually disappear? When the morning time comes. When the morning light rises, that's when the stars begin to disappear. And it's such a beautiful thing because it's reality and then it's gone. When the sun comes, do the stars actually disappear? They're still there. But you are being covered from seeing them. And that's such a beautiful, such a powerful phenomenon that the reality is there, but sometimes there are certain things that stop you from seeing the reality. But in reality, that haq is still there. According to some scholars, they say, "Wan najmi idha hawa ay wal Qur'an." Allah is taking an oath by the Qur'an because the Qur'an is like a star as well. They say Allah is actually taking an oath by the Qur'an, idha hawa, when it disappears, meaning when it reveals down to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ma dhalla sahibukum wa ma ghawa." Your companion, referring to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ma dhalla." He was not misguided. "Wa ma ghawa." Neither is he on a wrong pathway, right? He isn't lost. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Wama yantiqu anil hawa." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not speak from his desires and whims. Everything he says is a form of revelation. Everything the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said was a form of revelation. And the companions, they say that the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Jibreel alayhi salam, just as the Quran was revealed to Jibreel alayhi salam. One day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told the Sahaba that I only speak revelation. Whatever Allah tells me to speak is what I speak. So one Sahabi, he was sitting there, he said, "O Messenger of Allah, but sometimes you're joking with us too. Is that revelation?" So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Wala aqulu illa haqqa." Even when I'm joking, I do not speak with the truth. There was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the name of Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala. He was a person who used to write down hadith. You know, people, they talk about preservation of hadith. Hadith was preserved from the Prophet's time, not 200 years later. It was preserved from the Prophet's time because men like Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu used to actually write it down. And he used to sit in the corner and write hadith down. One day someone said to him, "Why do you write down the hadith? Sometimes the Prophet is happy, sometimes he's sad, sometimes he's angry, sometimes he's joking. Are you writing everything down?" So he was a young man. He said, "Well, the guy's got a point." He stopped writing. Next day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the gathering and he saw Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu wasn't writing anymore. He said, "Abdullah, why did you stop writing?" So he said, "O Messenger of Allah, this is what the people told me, that sometimes you joke, sometimes you're serious, sometimes you're angry, I shouldn't write everything down." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "No, no, no. Write down everything I say. Because everything I say, it is the haq, it is the truth, and it is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." That's why scholars, when they categorize revelation, they say, al-wahyu qisman, that revelation is of two types. Wahyu matlu, wahyu ghayru matlu. The first revelation is that which is recited, meaning the Quran. This is what we recite in the salah. And the second type of revelation is that which is not recited, meaning the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See, today we live at a time where, unfortunately, when someone presents a hadith, we don't give it value. We don't respect it the way it should be. And we hear people come to me all the time and they say, "Can you please prove this and prove this through the Quran? Show me that, you know, homosexuality is not permissible in Islam and prove it through the Quran." Well, you can do that all day. But nonetheless, you know, the point is that the Quran isn't the only source. Along with the Quran, we also have the hadith, the traditions from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet ﷺ was an explanation to the Quran. His day, his night, his interaction with his spouse, the way the Prophet ﷺ ate, everything about him was. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran only gives us guidelines. Give your zakat. How much zakat do you give? When do you give it? Who's deserving of it? Who isn't deserving of it? Now all of that is explained through the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes the Quran will use words that are very vague. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, the whole issue regarding three divorces. When three divorces are given, and if the husband and wife wish to get back together again, the process that they must go through, which is not a recommended process, but that's the natural process and the only process that they can get back together again, is called halala. Now the word used in the ayah of halala is nikah. What is it? فَإِنْ طَلَّقَهَا فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدُ حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرًا. That if they wish to get back together, the only way they can do that is if they marry another spouse each, and then they come back. Right? But the Prophet ﷺ further explains that here in nikah isn't referring to marriage, it's actually referring to intimacy. That you have to get married to someone else, you have to be intimate with them, then a divorce will occur, the waiting period is over, and then after that these two people can come back together again if they wish to. So there are so many examples of this where the Prophet ﷺ gives explanation to the Qur'an. The Prophet ﷺ, he was the tafsir of the Qur'an. The Prophet ﷺ was a walking Qur'an, as Aisha radiallahu anha described it. So we have to remember, especially in our young ones, our young men and women, and even in our adults, that the hadith is an authority. Just as we are bound by the Qur'an, we are also bound by the sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ, he said in one narration, that whoever follows my sunnah, kana ma'i fil jannah. He will be with me in paradise. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the narration, and whoever abandons my sunnah, then let that person be far away from me. Let that person be far away from me. The Prophet ﷺ said on the Day of Judgment, there will be certain people who will be coming to me while I will be standing at my pond, and they will be thirsty, and I'll be wishing to give them water. And as they will be coming towards me, the angels will stop them from advancing towards me. And I will say, oh angels, why are you stopping them? That's my ummah, let them come. And the angels will say, no, these people, they changed your sunnah. And because they changed your sunnah, we won't allow them to come. And the Prophet will say, you changed my sunnah? Be away from me, be away from me. Don't come close to me then. Imagine that day if the Prophet was to push us away. So the first thing, my friends, right, is we have to learn to understand that the sunnah is an authority. And it's a science within itself. It's not something that you can pick up a book and start flicking through it and understanding it. It's a science, you know, and we have to be respectful to that science as we would be respectful to any science. If I came to your field, whatever it was, and I picked up a book, a dummy's guide to being a doctor book, and I started giving, medical fatwa from there, you guys would laugh at me. It would say, Sheikh, please close it down, otherwise I will sue you. You're lucky in Islam we don't sue people for doing the same crime that if we did, they would sue us for. So we have to be respectful to the sciences of the deen. At the same time, understand that these sciences are very delicate. The Prophet ﷺ tells us, مَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. Whoever ascribes a lie to me intentionally, let him find his place in the fire of hell. He has nothing to do with me anymore. Yet at the same time, the Prophet ﷺ, he teaches us to follow his sunnah. Allah in the Quran again and again tells us, follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in our lives, following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have to view it kind of like a desire. We have to view it as a passion. I want to discuss one word very quickly, and then after this I'm going to end. When we talk about following the sunnah, anyone know what the common word used for following in the Quran is? What's the Arabic word for following? Ittiba, okay? In kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni, as Allah says, follow, ittiba. The word ittiba, it's derived from a triliteral word, tabi'un. What's the word there? Tabi'un, ta-ba'in. Tabi'un is called a baby animal. You know a baby animal? Call it tabi'un. You know why they call it the tabi'un? Because the baby animal, when it learns to walk, because it can't verbally communicate with its mother like you and I would, or the mother can't explain, especially with animals that can't speak, the baby follows the mother wherever the mother goes. So if the mother jumps over the pond, what will the baby do?
Same thing.
It's going to jump over the pond. It won't think whether I have the strength to land on these feet or not. Exactly what the mother does is going to do it. So the mother has to be careful not to run. Because if she runs down, what's the baby going to do? It hurt. The mother has to be careful not to do anything crazy because the baby will get hurt. Same exactly as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not make the deen difficult for us where we couldn't practice it. There were so many instances where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was praying Taraweeh and then he stopped praying. He told the Sahaba, no, Tarawih. And they said, why? What was the Prophet's reasoning for that? Anyone know? He said, I fear that if I continue praying Tarawih every day with all of you guys, it might become fard on you. And then there are some people who may find it difficult because of the long fasting hours in America one day. He was considerate. The Prophet ﷺ was very considerate. You know, the Prophet ﷺ said, I fear that miswak will become obligatory upon you. The Prophet ﷺ said, I fear that the Hajj salah will become obligatory upon you. So many things the Prophet ﷺ was considered for the Ummah. Now, just as that baby follows its mother, does it ever question the mother why it's doing anything? No. And when it follows it, what's the pushing force of the baby to imitate its mother? You know, imitation could be of different could have different reasons behind it. You can imitate someone out of mockery as well. You know, you could try to copy someone making fun of them. You know, you can dress up like someone like on, you know, people they dress up on Halloween. Sometimes it's out of mockery. Sometimes it's because it's humor. Sometimes because it's joke. Very few people take their dress serious. Like, you know, this is the person I want to be like. Okay. So when the child follows its mother, the purpose, the foundation there is love. That I am following my mother because I love my mother. It's kind of like my son one day at home, he was sitting and he put a hijab on. I said, why did you do that? You're a boy. Boys don't put hijab on. He said, Mama wears hijab. For a child, that's good enough. And that's the beauty in children. When I look at children like this, wallahi, my heart melts. Sometimes I find myself crying. I think to myself, if I was as loyal to Allah as this child is to his parents, I would be a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, there was once a story of a sheikh. This young man came to visit a sheikh, and he had his child with him. So when they were there, the sheikh, he offered the kid a candy, like this. So the kid, he, before taking the candy, he turned to his dad and asked his dad, you know, like with eyes, can I take it? So his dad then gave him the gesture with the head, go ahead. So when he went forward and he took the candy, the sheikh started crying. So the student asked the sheikh, why did you know, if you were that attached to the candy, you shouldn't have offered it. Maulvis are attached to sweet things, you know that, right? And ek maulvi ne kaha tha, inna la fil batni khalwa la yamlauha illa al halwa. But indeed in the stomach, there is a emptiness, khalwa. La yamlauha illa al halwa. And the only thing that fills in that emptiness is dessert. So maulvi and dessert, you can't let them go. That's another qissa for another day, okay? So he started crying. He's a sheikh. If you love the candy so much, you shouldn't have offered it to my kid. So the sheikh started crying. He said, I'm not sad at the separation of the candy. What makes me cry is the loyalty of this kid to his father. He said, when I offered it to him before taking it, he first sought his father's permission. He said, only if I can learn this lesson from this child, and I can learn to ask Allah first before the world offers me something. You know, there are lessons to learn within your own kids. Sheikh Zakari rahmatullahi alayhi, he was my teacher's teacher. He used to have this gathering after Asr Salah. It was called Chai Ki Majlis. Everyone would gather together after Asr and they would be given one cup of
tea.
Everyone would get one cup of tea. And the principle to that gathering was no talking. Everyone would sit there quietly and drink a cup of tea from Asr until Maghrib. Literally, no talking. Just do silent thinking, read a book if you want to, read some Quran. No talking. Imagine how hard that would be in America. That model wouldn't flourish at all. No one would turn up to that kind of seminar. We're so used to talking. Too much bakwas. So here, Sheikh Zakari rahmatullahi alayhi had a chai ki majlis. Principle was khamoshi, quiet. Drink tea and stay quiet. So people used to come to visit him at that time. There was a very famous movie actor that used to come regularly at that time to visit him. You guys ever heard of Dilip Kumar?
Yeah.
Yusuf Khan?
Yeah.
He used to come at that time to visit Sheikh Zakari rahmatullahi alayhi. Sheikh Zakari mentions that many times, and many of his students, they say that we had seen him come and asking the Sheikh to make dua for and so on. So anyway, one day what happened was that, my teacher told me this, he said, I was there that day, and one day what happened was that it was a quiet gathering, and there were a line of people that were coming to meet the Sheikh one by one. This one man had a baby with him, and he was holding his baby in his hand. When it came time for him to meet the Sheikh, his baby started crying. So now it's a quiet gathering, and there's a baby crying. Obviously, as a parent, you're going to feel a little sad, right? Like, not sad, but like a little humiliated, a little shy. Oh my God, shh, shh. He's trying to get the baby to go quiet. So Sheikh Zakari rahmatullahi alayhi, Allahu Akbar, look what he said. He said, bachche ko rone do, dunya mein rone wale bahut kam reh gaye. He said, let the baby cry. There are a few people in the world who still cry for this, who still cry. Let us hear crying too. We don't hear crying, we hear laughing too much. وَتَضْحَكُونَ وَلَا تَبْكُونَ. Everyone's laughing. When's the last time we heard someone crying for the sake of Allah? So, the reason why I discuss all of this, right, is to bring it back to the original point that, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, revelation is something that's very serious. And not only revelation in form of the Quran, but also in form of the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. We have to learn to attach ourselves to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Teach the Sunnah, treat the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ as an authority, and keep that at the top of our list as well. pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us all to take the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seriously, and he allows us to follow the sunnah just as that baby animal follows its mother. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows our foundation of following the sunnah to be love and passion, not force. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts this gathering. Sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaykum.